But I also asked the Lord today, I said, Lord, if you could, please give me a word of wisdom from time to time. A word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is an understanding of things that you don't know about yourself, but God shows you about someone else. I got a word right now. It just came as I got up here, Josh. God told me that you are a light, a bright light, and we need to hold on to that. God's going to give us some words today, I'm sure of that. As we start this morning, we haven't been with you for a while. We've been traveling, as you know, that I oversee our churches for the state of South Dakota, and I've got three churches in Wyoming that I oversee, Casper being the farthest one away, which makes quite a jaunt. But anyway, so we're gone, and we were in Oklahoma City at our International Assembly, and it was an awesome time for us. It's a time when we get together with some of our people from around the world that we don't see very often. And of course, because of COVID, we hadn't had an assembly for the last 4 years. So it was good to get together. We do have an overseer in Myanmar. And I gave Jeff his name, and we have a work going in there. Pretty much everything is undercover there. We know that Pat Klein has a orphanage there, and but it's tough. But listen, things are tough all over the world. It's not just there, everywhere. But I want to tell you what is going on, even in the midst of things being so tough. There are people coming to the Lord through the persecution. We have a group in, we have, I think, 22 churches in Ukraine. We have several in Russia. And at the opening of our assembly, these countries come in and they march in with their flag. 147 different flags that came in, and it was awesome. It really was awesome. And when you realize these are people that love Jesus Christ like you do, it is exciting. It's exciting. And the delegation from Ukraine showed a picture of a Russian missile that hit alongside of their church, probably about like right there. And the missile is sticking in the ground and never went off. But they have numbers of people coming to the Lord. And so that part of it for Linda and I was really, it was exciting. It was exciting to see it. And there's so many things different about other countries that are not the same as us. In many of our churches in America today, membership is a thing that has kind of went out the door. I guarantee you that's not the case in other countries. Membership means a lot. And the reason it does, because they're looking for prayer coverage. They're looking for people to pray for them. By the way, I just got a text from Autumn saying, praying for you, Brad. I thought, as busy as you are doing wherever that you were thinking about me, I so much appreciate it. And so anyway, it was wonderful. We spent some time with our overseer over Turkey and many of those countries there, Brother Endicott. And he originally started in Rapid City years ago. And anyway, I was asking him about Turkey. I said, do we have any work going on in Turkey? Oh, he said, Brad, he said, yeah, there's work everywhere there, but it's all underground. There is nothing out where it can be seen, so to speak. And so we live here today in a whole different world. We live in a place where we should be seen. We should be out, and we should be going. And so my scripture today, as you've seen it in the bulletin, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. And I only want to just say this about that scripture, because I'm going to share some other ones. Today is the day of salvation. Today. See, our Lord Jesus Christ, God lived back here. He will live there, but He lives in the I Am right now. Right now. What you're living in right now, you're living in the power of Jesus Christ on this earth right now. Now, whether you decide to take that on yourself and let Him be that divine power inside of you, that's your choice. But today is the day of salvation. Our God is an awesome, awesome God. You know, Linda and I went to a funeral one time in a little bitty town in South Dakota in Riva. This young man had passed away, got in a bad car wreck on ice. And we'd known the family forever and ever, amen. So we go to the funeral, and the shocker for me was, I didn't do the funeral, but we're standing around a bunch of people talking, and a kid that grew up neighbor to me came over to me, and he said, Brad, he said, how many years have you known Jesus? I thought a while, and I said, oh, probably 25. Really? Really, 25 years you've known Jesus? I said, yeah, I think so. Let me ask you this question. Why have you never told me about Jesus? Why have you never shared this man Jesus that you love now and you're not afraid to share? Why didn't you share it before? I thought we were friends. Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? Church, it was a wake-up call for me. And I decided right then and there, the Jesus that lives inside of me gives me everything I need. And then some. Really and truly. And I need to be the light that God called Josh to be. I need the light that God is calling each and every one of us to be. So why in the world are we afraid to share Jesus with anybody? I mean, think about it for just a second. If God gave you a brand new house up on the hill, just gave it to you, there are no payments, no taxes, no nothing, whatever, why would you not share that excitement with somebody else? I mean, that's a house. Well, let's just say that He gave you a new car. Just give it to you. There's a new car. Why wouldn't you share that with somebody else? Now, we do go share when a newborn baby comes. We took a couple to supper last night and for Linda's birthday, but they just had a brand new baby, 2 weeks old. Oh, my gosh, talk about precious. But we can share that, which is great. We should. But what's wrong with sharing Jesus? I'd like to share with you this morning for a little bit. Linda and I've shared Jesus for years now. And maybe we have a little different way of doing things than most. I grew up in this area. Grew up in Western South Dakota. Very Western. We do things a little different. Our first church was Laurel, Montana. Yes, Laurel, Montana. I'm telling you what. And we go there and to see this church. And I'd never been a part of this denomination, knew nothing about it really whatsoever. But that's where God called us. Weeds about that tall when we got there. Basement full of garbage and whatever. Got it all out of there, and weeks went by, and it's Linda and I and our granddaughter, and that's it. One day this lady shows up and she said, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "Yep." She said, "Well, the Lord told me that I should come to your church and just sit in one of your pews and pray and fast for a while." I said, "Are you talking about a couple hours or what?" "No, no, I may be here a few days." "Well," I said, "sure, that's fine." I said, "What do you need?" "I don't need anything." And so she stayed and she prayed and fasted for 3 days. At the end of the third day, she said, "Pastor, God told me that you will have people, new people, Sunday." Well, Sunday rolls around and we start. It's Linda and I and our granddaughter. And we're going along and all of a sudden this family walks in. And they walk in the back, they sit down, and I had kept on going. It was time for an altar call, and I give an altar call, and here comes this girl. Girl, I don't know about your age, honey. And she came up, and God says, "Lay your hands on her ears." I wasn't sure why, but I did, and I prayed for her. The little girl had never heard anything in her life, and God opened this ear. Why did God do that for her? He did it because he wanted to use her to be a light. He wanted to change her life and touch her life. I think about those people in my life that have meant so much to me. Some of you will know who I'm talking about, some of you won't. A man by the name of David Ring. David Ring is an evangelist, has been for a long time, and he'll say, he starts out this way, and he says, "Well, I got cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" And I've thought about that so many times. The man has a terrible time getting around. They tell him, "You know, well, you'll never be married. You can't be married." "Oh," he says, "there's my wife sitting there." And he said, "Then they tell me I can never have any children. But there's my three beautiful girls." "Oh, I got cerebral palsy, but what's your problem?" And I've thought about that so many times, the things that we think are holding us back from being the light, from going down to, here it's McDonald's, in Laurel was Hardee's. We went to Hardee's all the time. In fact, we filled the church, and we filled it from Hardee's. We didn't fill it from the church pew, we filled it from Hardee's. Why? Because we went in there to be a light, to be an encouragement to people. I didn't go in there. We were not allowed to preach in there. But how many of you know you can walk in anywhere and you don't have to preach? You don't have to say a word. In fact, one of the brightest lights there is anywhere is joy. Sits right there. She ministers to me every time I see her. For one thing, she learned a long time ago that a smile increases your face value. Hallelujah, she's a blessing. She's a blessing. One day Linda and I have ministered in Hardee's a lot. We went down to Hardee's downtown Rapid City. And we usually would have a couple, $3 in our pocket, and she'd go one direction, I'd go another. But we had another guy with us that night, because he wanted to learn how to do this. I said, "Well, I'm not going to show you nothing. You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit." So we go in, and I said, "Linda," I said, "oh, I need to go talk to those three boys over there." Well, I go over, and I start talking to them about Jesus. Well, the three boys was real quick to tell me that, "Well, listen, sir, we don't really want to offend you, but we don't want anything that you got." Said, "We got money, and we got girls, and that's really all we're interested in." Oh, man, I thought, man, Olivia, I missed it. I totally missed it. So I go back, and I sat down, and God said, "Well, that was good. You planted the word. Nothing wrong with that. But the one I wanted you to talk to is that man sitting over there by himself." So I got back up. But this time, the Lord said, "You give them what money you have in your pocket." Oh, well, it wasn't very much, but it was okay. So I went over and I said, "Sir, the Lord told me to give you this," and I handed him maybe $5. I don't know what it was. He said, "Well, who did you say told you?" I said, "Well, the Lord just nudged me, told me to give it to you." "Well, wow." And he started crying. And I said, "Sir, are you okay?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I grew up a foster child." And he said, "I lived with this family in Denver. And it was a pastor and his wife." And he said, "You know what? They were so kind to me. They were incredible to me. And he said, "But when I got of age and got out of there, I decided I'm going to do my thing, and I wound up in prison." He said, "I just got out of prison. And I heard there was work in Rapid City, so I came up here. But," he said, "I felt lonely this morning," and he said, "I went to that church right there." It was a Lutheran church. He said, "I sat way in the back. And," he said, "I said to God, I said, 'Lord, if I haven't went too far, then send a message to me. Send me a messenger.'" He said, "I got up and walked out." He said, "Obviously, you're God's messenger. Listen, when you become a light, God doesn't want you to be underneath a basket. He wants you to be out where people can see you." And listen, sometimes we get the idea, well, I've got to bounce right over to somebody and say, "Hey, have you been born again?" Well, sometimes for some people, that's kind of offensive, isn't it? It kind of becomes, it's the question that you're going to ask in a roundabout way. But I find it easier to let the light of Jesus that's in you, like in Lance and Joy, let that shine out. Let that light shine. It will penetrate where you can't ever penetrate. Especially when we get in the flesh. Hallelujah. I didn't come to offend anybody, to hurt anybody. I come to encourage you. Encourage you to not be afraid to walk straight and upright, sharing Jesus wherever you go. Well, why do you have such a good attitude? Why? Where does that come from? I said, "Well, it didn't come necessarily from my background. It comes from Jesus. I love the Lord. And I'm not afraid to tell somebody I love the Lord, regardless. Fact of the matter is, one of the neatest places I thought about when I thought about you, sir, being an attorney. I went to a courthouse in Rapid one time. I thought, you know, this might be a good place to go pray for people. Well, people were lined up along the wall. They were waiting for their time to go in before the judge and so on. And I'd just walk along and I'd say, "You got anything you want me to pray about this morning for you? You got anything you want me to pray about this morning?" You know what? I only got turned down by one person. Wow, when I was in sales, I got turned down a lot more times than that. I'm telling you, the power of Jesus Christ working in you as a light changes everything. Matthew 5:13 talks about you being the salt. The salt is not worth anything as long as it's inside of the salt shaker, is it? It's got to get out of there. Jesus wants to get out of you too. He wants that light to shine that He gave you. Hallelujah. I get excited about sharing Jesus. Oh, you know, recently the devil brought together some of his powerful people, and decides he better have a meeting with him because things wasn't going quite like he anticipated it should be going. And so he says to his leaders, he says, what are we going to do? He said, you know, I don't see us leading enough people. So what are we going to do to change this? First guy says, well, I know what we need to do. First guy, and Satan says, well, what's that? He said, well, he said, that's pretty easy. We just need to tell people there is no heaven. Oh, devil said, I thought that's what we've been doing. Second guy said, well, he said, you know, I don't think that's what we need to do. He said, I think we need to tell them there is no hell. Oh, I thought that's what we have been doing. Third guy said, no, I don't think that's what we need to do at all. We need to tell people there's no hurry. Listen, today is the day of salvation. We don't know that we're going to have tomorrow. We don't know that the friend that we might be going to is going to have tomorrow. We may not be able to get somebody to come to you and say, Pastor Brad, how long have you known the Lord? Why didn't you tell me? That may not come again. That opportunity is for now. Today is the day of salvation. And I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed when I ask the Lord in the morning, Lord, what we got? What's on the plan today? What are we going to do today? And the Lord will just say, very plainly, listen closely. Listen closely. And as you go along, all of a sudden, God will bump you. Hey, why don't you go do this? Why don't you go over there? This person needs a prayer today. They need somebody to come alongside of them and say, hey, can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for? I mean, after all, church, you have the greatest gift there's ever been given in this whole world. Why in the world wouldn't we share it? Amen? Well, for years we'd been having Bible studies in Bison. We went there on the first Sunday night of the month. For several years. And finally, this old gentleman started attending our Bible studies. He was a World War II veteran. He'd been a prisoner of war on the island of Jersey. And he knew I was Norwegian. So when he come, he always had at least one Norwegian joke. And it was fun. I didn't mind it because I liked Bobby. I didn't realize till I did his funeral, though, I didn't realize that I was about the only one he ever let call him Bobby. I guess his name, real name was Bob, and I had been calling him Bobby because I really liked him. But he said to Linda and I one day, we'd met him and seen him for coffee, and he said, you know, I've been coming to Bible study all these years, and I've been watching you guys. He said, I don't for sure understand how you got where you're at, but whatever it is that you have, I want some of it. I can't understand, though, how you can have all this trust and faith in a man that would allow his own son to die. He said, I can't get past that. Well, several meetings went by, and one night, as we were finishing up, one of the girls was sharing, and we got all done, and I said, Nancy, God is saying tonight, you're not done. I don't know just exactly what all you're going to finish, but you've got something to finish tonight. went in the kitchen to have lunch, whatever, and all of a sudden Nancy came out of the kitchen. She knelt down in front of Bobby on her knees, got down on his knees, her knees, and she led him to the Lord. That day was a real breaker for him. His wife had already passed away. He had three boys. All three boys were gone, had been killed in different ways. But that day, his horse died. And it was incredibly devastating. But that's the day he decided to give his life to Jesus Christ. He prayed the sinner's prayer. And when he got done, he said to Nancy, Nancy, I want to pray that again because I want to be positive that what this Jesus has done for you guys, he will do for me. Guys, we're only a vessel. We're a vessel that God can work through and make a light out of. We are the channel in which the electricity can flow to somebody else. No, I couldn't do a thing for Bobby. But Jesus did through Nancy. I ended up doing his funeral, and it was just awesome. Before he passed away, he couldn't speak anymore, and so I had been with him at Fort Meade, and I'd say, Bobby, don't try to talk. If I say something or read something that you like as we're looking at Scripture, just do this. And so that was our way of communicating. So at the funeral, I explained what had happened with Bobby, and I said, so here's what we're going to do. As we go, amazing how God showed me to use Psalms 23 for Bobby. But I said, if I say anything that you agree with, then this is the sign. Everybody in that place got involved. It was just amazing how God chose to use somebody as low as me to bring forth a light, the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, it is no secret, church, what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do with for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. A friend of mine, Gary Coe, owned he owned, where all the hangars and stuff were at in airport. There you go. Thank you, honey. He bailed me out again. He owned the airport in Newell. And he was a crop duster. And Gary was known for doing things that a lot of the other crop dusters wouldn't do, especially in the Hewlett country where it was really rough and canyons and so on. But Gary was saying, you know, he didn't know the Lord. And he said one day he was getting ready to take off, but he said he decided he better go in the bathroom first, and walked in the bathroom, sat down, and I thought about Lance. There's a tract. And he picked the tract up, and he said, I never left the bathroom till I got on my knees and asked Jesus Christ into my life. Several years later, because we shared a lot back and forth, one day he calls me up and he said, Brad, he said, would you come and meet me at the restaurant? I need to talk to you. So I went there and I said, Gary, what's the matter? He said, well, they just brought hospice in for my mom. And he said, you know, my mom, she's not saved. She's an atheist. She doesn't believe in Jesus. He said, I'm not sure what she believes in. I said, well, Gary, she hasn't passed away yet. No, He said, no, she hasn't. Said, what are you suggesting? I said, well, I'm suggesting we pray. So we're right in a diner. We had prayer right there. Right there in front of God and everybody. I mean, we had prayer. Well, this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 7 o'clock that night. Gary calls, guess what? Mom got saved today. I said, how did it happen? He said, a minister down the street. Mom didn't know, but he walked in and led her to the Lord today. So she asked to call. Gary's mom called Linda and I. Would you guys come over? I want you to know that this is real. I want you to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. All we need to do is be obedient to the one that causes the light. We need to be obedient to what God asks us to do. I think about so many people in our lives, because we like to watch and see where the light is at. I enjoy doing that. I like to watch and see who's really a bright, shining light. You know, because all of you know people that just seem like they just beam, don't they? They just make a sparkle, and I think about Shannon. Oh, man, we were going to Aromas for coffee every morning, and Shannon would come in, and it was a blessing. And thank you, Shannon. And so I just want to encourage you that God will do things through you that you never thought was possible. Linda was working for Wyoming National Banks, and they talked her into converting all of their banks at that time over to computers. And that was back the DOS system. So she was traveling doing this, and she would be gone sometimes a week. So I had the girls. The boys were already grown by that time. One Friday night, she comes back and she calls me. She's just about to Gillette. And I said, well, honey, let's just meet at Perkins. So we did. We went to Perkins for supper. And we're sitting there, and the Holy Spirit had been stirring in me for a while. And I said, well, I need, because in Perkins and Gillette, they have kind of an island. So there's people set on that side, and then on this side over here, and then in this room. I said, well, I need to go through there. I think I do. So I got up, and I started around the corner, and I got right over to this other side, and there sat a guy in a pew all by himself. The Lord said, now you stop, and you tell him that I love him, and that I know what he's going through. I thought, whoa, man, this guy's going to think I'm crazy. So I stopped. I said, sir, I was going to leave, but God told me to come by this way and tell you that he loves you and knows what you're going through. What? Are you kidding me? I said, no. He said, well, sit down. Let's talk. Well, Linda was getting... So we did talk for a little bit, and he said, can you meet me for breakfast in the morning? Well, I thought, sure, this is just a shove off. This won't happen. But 6 o'clock the next morning, we met him for breakfast, Linda and I did, and led him to the Lord. I think about those times when just being obedient to that call that God asks you to do, it's just incredible what God can do. Why in the world would I ever hold back? Why would I take this gift that God gave us, each one of us? When God saved your life, he automatically gave you an anointing to share with others. You may not think so, but you try it. God will show you how. God will show you the way. I just encourage you to Let it happen. Let it happen. Our God is an awesome God. One more time I want to share with you. We were doing a tent revival in Laurel, Montana. Across from the school, right next to the post office. Everybody said tent revivals were over. You couldn't do that. It was wouldn't work. Well, it didn't get started out real easy. It was tough. It was tough. We got threatened with all kinds of stuff, but it was good. But one night, this girl comes in. Young lady, she comes in and sits down. We're not ready to go yet, but she sat down there. Well, the praise and worship team came up, and they started their first song. And she jumped up out of her chair and left there screaming. And she goes out in the field, heads off, and she's running. And some of the guys were going to go after her, and I said, no, don't go after her. Leave her. She's okay. She'll be all right. During the service that night, here she come. And first she's in back there, and then she's up here. Altar time comes, and she is right here. None of us went there. None of us went and started talking to her. The praise and worship team is what had touched her. But when the pastor finished, she was at the altar and gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my favorite saying is, when God's in the bush, any bush will work. It don't matter. Any bush will work. He made you, didn't he? Yes, he did. To God be the glory. I have something else I'd like to share this morning in closing, going along with this. I have a couple shirts that I want to give away this morning to somebody that's brave enough to wear them. It says, Chosen Generation, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Who could wear this? Come and get it. I got several coming. This guy back here had his hand up first. Sorry. There you go. Okay, I've got one more, but this one I think is quite a lot smaller. Isn't it? Aren't they the same size? Okay. Here you go, honey. You can have it. You're the one that came after it. Can you wear that? Okay. Good. Now, I really enjoy those. And I, you going to put it on? Good for you. Good for you. Woo. Oh, our glasses got up. All right. Woo! Chosen Generation. I'm telling you, these young people are changing the world. They really are. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And let's have a word of prayer as we close. And our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that's in this room. And I pray, Lord God, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I would pray that you would touch their life and that they would come to you and ask forgiveness for their sins and ask you to come and be their guidance, their Father. Just pray you'd be with each one. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your wonderful, wonderful ways. Thank you, Lord. You know, church, Jesus is not a way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is not a truth. He is the truth. Jesus is not the life. He is a life. He is the life that we must follow and need to follow. God, He is God's way to man, and He's man's way back to God. One mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior was fully God and fully man. They asked Him one day, said, "Jesus, how old are you?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, I'm 13. But on my daddy's side, oh, I'm from everlasting to everlasting." "Well, Jesus, don't you ever get thirsty?" "Well," he said, "sure. On my mama's side, yeah, I get thirsty." "Oh," but he said, "on my daddy's side, I'm life everlasting. I am the fountain that flows forever." That's who we give our heart to this morning. God bless each one of you.